think most of you probably know me by now. I'm Hannah. Today is Pentecost in the church calendar. It's when we remember and celebrate the Holy Spirit being given to the disciples and empowering them for mission. The passage that we had read to us today maybe isn't the one that we would have expected at Pentecost. We maybe think of the one where the flames come on the disciples' heads. But these verses in John really challenge us that we are empowered and sent just as the disciples were those thousands of years ago. I'm just going to read those verses again, and they are on the screen so you can follow. We've been in our house group in the last few weeks, we've been reading verses over and over, because I think the first time you read them, you don't really maybe get all the meaning of them, or you don't hear them completely, so I'm going to read them again. John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I'm going to stop there. So it's the day after Jesus had been crucified and buried. They've seen the empty tomb that morning, and now the disciples are all together in a locked room because they're really afraid of the Jewish leaders who were opposed to Jesus and who basically oppose anyone who followed him. And suddenly Jesus appears in the room with them and greets them in the normal way that he would have done when he was alive. He says, "Peace be with you." I guess the disciples must have been fairly freaked out when a man suddenly appeared with them in this locked room. I know I would have been. John doesn't say whether they recognized Jesus straight away, but I guess we can presume that his greeting, his normal greeting, would have been meant to help just calm their fears a bit, and they may well have recognized him straight away by his voice. Jesus then goes on to show them his wounds so that they can be in no doubt that actually this is Jesus, who they saw crucified. It's the next words of Jesus that I'm going to talk about today. Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The title I was given for today's talk is "Empowered to Do the Works of Jesus." Thinking about this title and about those words of Jesus, I think the first thing that we need to do is to look at what Jesus did during his ministry time here on earth. When Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me," apparently, I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar, but apparently, the verb he uses for sent means that it's something that, not something that happened just once, but something that's going to keep on happening. It's a continuous sending. And so it's being carried on even through us today. Jesus was sent by the Father, and he in turn sends us to carry on the same work, not a diluted form of the same work, but to carry out the same mission that Jesus did. So, what did Jesus do while he was here on earth? What are the works of Jesus? As the passage that we're looking at today is from John, I thought I'd just flick through John and see what it was that Jesus was sent to earth to do. And I'll tell you, there's lots of things. Most importantly, of course, is that he was sent to earth to die on the cross and to rise again, to restore us to a right relationship with God. That's the one thing that only Jesus could do. We can't do that because he's God and he did it once for all. One of the most famous verses in John, verse 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So that's the first thing that Jesus did. He came to save the world. But there are lots of other things that Jesus did that we're called to continue or to copy. There's a few of the obvious practical things. He did a lot of teaching and proclaiming of God's love and grace. And John, if you read it, is full of the teachings of Jesus. He taught that he's the bread of life, the light of the world, that he came to forgive sins. He also did miracles, like turning water into wine, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, raising Lazarus from the dead. I've put all the references up there if you want to Go and look them up later. He also healed lots of people. Just in John, he healed the official's son, the man at the pool, the blind man, and in other gospels, there's lots more healings. He challenged religious practices, like when he went into the temple and overturned all the tables where people were selling things. And he healed on the Sabbath, which went against what the religious leaders thought should happen in those days. He also reached out to those rejected by society, like the Samaritan woman at the well and those with leprosy. So those are the things Jesus did, but then there's also the attitude Jesus came with. And Philippians 2 verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So what was his attitude? He had an attitude of servanthood. He washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. He had an attitude of love. He was sent to seek and save the lost and to share his good news with those who would listen. He had an attitude of compassion. He had an attitude of being a child of God. He was always ready to do the will of the Father, not his own will. And he had an attitude of prayer. Just in John, he prays for himself, for his disciples, and for all believers. And in Romans 8, verse 34, we see that Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So even now, Jesus is up in heaven praying for us and interceding for us. The disciples had been with Jesus throughout his ministry, and they would have seen all of these things that I've mentioned, and they would have known Jesus really well. So when Jesus said to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, they would have had some idea of how enormous that task was, because they'd seen all of the things of Jesus. When I started looking at all the things Jesus did during his ministry and what he was sent to earth to do, it really hit me what an impossible task that we actually have, to be ambassadors of Christ on earth and to carry on the work that Jesus started. But actually, that's where the next part of the passage comes in. Jesus doesn't just say, I'm sending you, off you go. He follows the sending by breathing on them and giving them the Holy Spirit. That's why today's talk is called Empowered to Do the Works of Jesus, because we can't do any of it on our own. So, who or what is the Holy Spirit? Firstly, he's part of the Trinity. God is three in one. And we have God the Father, who sent Jesus to earth, God the Son, Jesus, who came to earth so that we could be restored as children of God, and God the Holy Spirit, who is in us and empowers us, and who was actually there when the world was created. They're all part of the one God, but each has different roles. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14, and he says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus goes on to say that the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us of all of Jesus' words. In my experience, the Holy Spirit prompts me to do what God wants me to do what is right. He gives me peace when I'm making the right decisions. He puts people on my heart to pray for or to talk to, and he helps me to pray for others. Interestingly, Jesus lived his life on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit as well. He didn't do it on his own. I think we often assume that as Jesus leaves the earth, the Holy Spirit comes. But actually, the Spirit has been around as long as God the Father and Jesus have. If we look at Jesus' life, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 1, the angel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Then at the start of Jesus' ministry, we see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove when he was baptized by John. He was led into the desert by the Spirit, and he was full of the Holy Spirit when he was tempted by the devil in Luke 3 and 4. And Luke also says that Jesus taught in the power of the Holy Spirit and was empowered by the Spirit to heal. While Jesus was on earth, he was still fully God. He was still part of that Trinity, but he was also fully human, and he had the power of the Holy Spirit in him to do all the works that God intended him to do. And we're the same. Without God the Holy Spirit in us, we can do nothing. It's God who can heal in us and do miracles and show love to the unlovable and have the same attitude as Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit in us who produces all the gifts that enable us to become more like Jesus, to have his attitude And those gifts are listed in Galatians 5, verse 22. They're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Always makes me want to burst into song when I say those. So many songs about them. So we're called to show Jesus to the world through our words and through our actions and through the things that we do by the power of the Holy Spirit. All the things that Jesus did were signs to tell people about himself and to point them to God. And we can do exactly the same things by the same Holy Spirit in us. When I hear talks about imitating Christ and being empowered to do the same miracles and healings that Jesus did, sometimes I become a bit disheartened, actually. I don't know about you, but when I look around me at my life and at the church today, I don't see as many of these things happening as maybe I'd like to. Not on the same scale that Jesus did. Don't get me wrong, there's definitely healing today. And there's definitely miracles happening today. And we see people coming to know Jesus. But sometimes I feel like maybe we're missing out on the power and the influence that Jesus had in his time. So I want us just to look at what maybe stops us from accessing the power that's in us. What prevents us from seeing more signs and wonders today? Firstly, and it's a big one in my life, I know, is fear. Fear of disappointment. What if I pray for somebody to be healed and they're not healed? Does that mean God doesn't want them to be healed? Isn't it better not to pray for somebody than for that person to be disappointed when they're not healed? I have prayed for people to be healed and they haven't been healed. And it does knock your confidence and your faith. But I've also prayed for people to be healed and they have been healed. And I've heard of so many testimonies of people being healed. And I know we've got plenty of examples here in St. Matt's of people who have been healed by Jesus. We can't let fear get in the way of the Holy Spirit working through us. Maybe the question we should be asking is, isn't it better to pray and let God do what he wants to do, whether that person's healed or not? Because God sees the bigger picture. And we have to trust that he'll work through our prayers in the way that's best, not just in healing, but in all areas of our lives. And not just fear of disappointment, but fear of what other people will think. I don't know how many times I've not said something about Jesus or about church or not offered to pray with somebody because I was worried about what they might say or the way they might react. And yet Jesus calls us to be a light in the world, like he was. Imitating Jesus is being ready to do God's will and only being concerned with what God thinks of us. It really doesn't matter what my friends think of me or what my work colleagues think of my faith. But it does matter whether Jesus can say to me on Judgment Day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I have to keep reminding myself of that. Another thing which stops us from living the lives Jesus wants us to is feeling unworthy. We feel we're not good enough to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus was God. How on earth can we do the same things that he did? Maybe we think that those gifts of healing and prophecy and praying for others and teaching can't be for me. They're for those more spiritual people over there. I sometimes think, why would God want to use me, a divorced single mother? Why would God want to use me when I don't even manage to read my Bible every day? Why would God want to use someone who's too old or too young, or not clever enough, or too shy? Because we're all children of God, and we all have the same Holy Spirit in us. If we have Jesus in our lives, then we're no longer any of those things. We're children of God, full stop. We're worthy because of Jesus in us. The Bible says that God uses the weak things of the world, because then that it's clear, that it's him that's working through us. Just yesterday, our lone parent group met, and there was just four of us, and we were all single parents, and we're all either divorced or widowed. And you might think, well, God couldn't really do anything through them, but we had the most amazing time of prayer, and the Holy Spirit was so evidently there with us, and I just was so reminded that God can use anybody, and he does. He uses all of us. I just want to read you a little bit from this book to remind us that it was the same for the disciples. It's called 40 Days with Jesus. My mum just lent it to me. So I'm just going to read a little bit about the disciples. What amazing grace. To a group of disciples who had failed him and deserted him in his hour of trial, Jesus comes and reveals God's plan. You're going to help me continue my mission to restore and redeem the whole world. What's even more amazing is that they did. This small group of previously frightened disciples took the good news of Jesus' resurrection out into the city. Within decades, the news was all over the Middle East. Within 300 years, it had taken over the Roman Empire. And today, one third of the world's population claimed to be Christians. It was the biggest task ever given. We now have the privilege of continuing that same mission today. God has a far greater plan for us than simply living for ourselves. Rather, we are called to live beyond ourselves. It is so important that we don't end up missing this. So it seems that the key thing is knowing that we have the Holy Spirit in us and being more aware of his prompting in our lives. When I was thinking about Jesus healing people, I started wondering whether Jesus had ever prayed for someone and they hadn't been healed. I don't think that did happen. And that's because Jesus was so in tune with God's will that he knew who God wanted to heal. And so he prayed for them. In house group last week, we looked at the crippled woman healed by Jesus in the synagogue in Luke 13. She'd been crippled for 18 years. Jesus called her out of the crowd because he knew that God wanted to heal her. And in John 5, when Jesus heals the man by the pool, we see that there were lots of disabled and sick people lying around the pool, all waiting to be helped into the water, which they believed would heal them. Jesus could have healed all those people around the pool, but he only chose to heal one man who had been an invalid for 38 years. In both of these examples, Jesus uses these healings to challenge the religious leaders about their laws and about their teachings about the Sabbath. But I also think that Jesus was really listening to God and heals those people who God wants to heal in order to impact those watching and to bring people to him. He knew God's bigger picture for the people around him. So if we're in tune with God and listening to the Holy Spirit prompting in our hearts, then we needn't be afraid of getting it wrong because God knows what he's doing. The power is there. We just need to overcome our fear and listen to the Holy Spirit guiding us. This does take practice, I think, but we're so blessed here at St. Matt's to be able to use our gifts in a safe environment and with each other. Small groups like house groups and pods are ideal places for getting to know how God works in our lives, for learning to hear the Holy Spirit's prompting, and for practicing praying for each other and using the gifts God gives us. If you're not in a house group or in a pod, I'd really encourage you to think about it, and you're welcome to come and talk to me about it if you'd like to. Just before we finish, when I was preparing this talk, I was reminded of the song that Rob played to us on the weekend away. If you weren't there, it was called Thrive by Casting Crowns, and Rob felt it was a song for us as a church at the moment. If you're anything like me, something like that inspires you for maybe a week or two or even a month, and then your life kind of just seems to get back into the normal rhythm and nothing seems to have changed. So I just thought it would be really good to listen to that song again because it really speaks of the same things that I've been speaking of. It talks about living our lives for Jesus and not just being ordinary. And as the song's being played, you might just want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you afresh. You might need to say sorry to God for things that have got in the way of you listening to him or using the power that's in you. So we're going to listen to the song. I'm just going to pray first, and then we'll put the song on, and we'll just listen and let the Holy Spirit come and fill us. Father God, I thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is in each one of us, Lord, that nothing can get in the way of you using us here on earth. I thank you that each one of us is called to be like Jesus. And I just ask, Lord, now that you would empower us once again, that you'd show us your Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts, and that you'd help us to do the work that Jesus did and to carry on the mission that he's given us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.